Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew. Is proud to present Beer Radio that turns ordinary homebrew into award-winning beer. The Jameel Show. And now, your hosts, Jameel Zainashef and John Plisse.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, howdy, hey.
Sorry.
Oh, you know, my daughter likes that hey, howdy, hey.
I would love if your daughter was ever caught listening to this on an iPod at school. Daddy, yeah. I was just listening to your beer show.
She's actually quite into horses.
Daddy, oh, yeah? Daddy, what's a reach around? I heard it on your show. What's a dirty Sanchez?
You gotta watch out, man. Forbid her to listen to this program.
Teabagging?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, those are just things we do in the Brewing Network studio after
Sky talk.
The show. Nothing unusual.
Family time.
She loves horses.
Nice.
And she's into, like, you know, the Hey Howdy Hey is like a Disney thing.
Right.
You know, one of her favorite CDs. She's getting older now. She's 12 years old now. I tell you, I've never seen a harder working child than that child. We pay for horseback riding lessons at this place. And it was like $150 a week for once a week. Right, and she's stepped up to three times a week riding these horses. And it's $250 a week.
Yeah,
but she goes and she works, and they pay her like $350 an hour, and she pretty much knocks out all the expense of this thing. Cost me like $40 a month.
Wow,
you know, because she goes and she, like, you know, cleans stables. She takes care of the horses. She, you know, feeds and waters them. She teaches class. She, you know,
what?
She does all this stuff. I mean, just you gotta imagine the number of hours you need to do it, like $350 an hour to cover all this. And she does. She works her tail off.
That's great.
And she's a straight A student.
Wow.
And, you know, I tell you, I'm just so lucky.
She's got
with
that
these kids.
That go get 'em attitude, you know. She loves it too, probably. You know,
both my kids are just absolutely fantastic. I'm just stunned. You know, people just like, you know, like, oh yeah, how your kids doing? I'm like, you know, I'm not worthy.
Yeah,
these kids are.
It's got to be
far
fun.
Far better people than I am.
I mean, it's got to be fun being a dad.
Yeah.
I mean, alone, like, that's like half you running around, you know?
Yeah. I worry a lot that I'm not a good enough dad, but, you know.
I'm sure all parents are that way, but.
Well, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, people tell me I'm a good dad, but, you know, with kids that great, how can you live up to that? You know, they are fantastic. They just
love them.
I try and do it, you know, and then I feel bad coming down here and doing the show, you know, because the kids get out of school, after I leave to come down here.
Yeah.
And then they get home and I'm not there.
Oh, that's kind of, well, that's tough, yeah.
But they understand. They, oh, you're doing the radio show. Oh,
they support
great,
you.
Great. Yeah. I call them while on the road and they're all cheerful and, you know, awesome. Oh, you know, have a good show. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, man.
Yep. Yeah, it's all about family. All about family, you know.
You just look out AHA in about 10 years. Little Miss Jameel. Little Miss Zainashef.
Miss Malty.
Miss Malty.
I know.
Riding on her horseback, yeah.
I know. Push has MrsMalty.com registered.
Does he?
Which I thought was a brilliant move.
Oh, darn
it. He's too nice to do anything rude to me on Mrs. Malty.
that's genius. Mm-hmm. Wow. I should have thought of that one.
Yeah, I told him as long as it doesn't do anything against my family, it's fine.
Yeah.
I was thinking what I should do is dress up.
Mrs. Malty.
Put on a wig and a dress, you know. Bold makeup and pose for Mrs. Malty photos that he could post on his site. probably no. Make people poke their eyes out. But
listenership drops by half.
Well, you know, and I'm not sure our sponsor, Northern Brewer, would really appreciate that.
Probably not. But thank you, Northern Brewer. You know,
yes, actually, they're pretty cool guys. I think they got a really good sense of humor up there, and they help sponsor this show. So if you're looking for some homebrew ingredients or some equipment, contact them at northernbrewer.com and tell them you listen to the show. Just say, hey, you know, I'm a big fan of the Jamel Show, and I want to let you know I'm purchasing from you because I listen to the show, and you support them, I support you. And I think a lot of times, a lot of our listeners will go ahead and buy from Northern Brewer, but they won't let them know. So make sure you make a point of let them know that their advertising dollar that helps keep Justin in hookers and blow.
Ramen and condoms.
Ramen and condoms, you're right.
That's
is going towards a good cause and getting people to buy.
There you go.
Also, the AHA. They do a lot for homebrewing. Recently, there's been a lot of battles in the
states, right?
In the states, yeah. There's five states that still don't allow homebrewing
as
legal activity, and the AHA is fighting that fight daily to ensure the rights. Not only the people who haven't got the right to homebrew, but preventing intrusions upon or incursions upon your rights as a homebrewer in the states you live in. Fund the AHA. Let's keep homebrewing legal for all of us. Go to the Brewing Network store, and you can get AHA memberships there. A portion of the fee goes to the Brewing Network and helps support the Brewing Network. Keeps the AHA going, and it'll actually make you a better brewer. They got a great magazine called Zymergy. They got Tech Talk. They got pub discounts. They got the AHA National Conference. You get discounts on the AHA competition.
Isn't it like a gadget section too?
Yeah,
there's all kinds of
great
stuff.
Great stuff. AHA homebrew membership, buy it. I want you to have it.
If I could say just real quick also about the legislation, don't take it for granted either if your state is a legal state like California is.
Absolutely.
California's got some weird stuff coming up right now that may change the laws for homebrewing here, and the AHA is all over that. It's not even happened yet, and I spoke to Gary personally. They're already getting to work on it. Yeah. So even if you're one of these states, you just go, it's fine for us. Don't ever take it for granted. It can change any day.
Like I was saying, they will help protect your rights to homebrew in states where it's already legal, right? Don't take it for granted, like Justin's saying. There's all sorts of people out there battling against what they think is, immoral activity of, just enjoying cooking, yourself in your own home.
And drinking beer.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
Right. Enjoying yourself at home is wrong.
Assholes.
And people who are passionate about what they believe. But you need somebody out there fighting for your rights, and it really requires lobbyists. And, a little bit of funding in the AHA, the Brewers Association, the craft brewers of the Brewers Association, that really helps fund that thing. So. Don't want to get on a soapbox too much, but I think that really is important.
Well, to touch on to Justin's point a little bit, there is actually now an alert out that home winemaking is being threatened as against the law. Like, there won't be any home winemaking competitions in California. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's stemming onto that a little bit.
And I'm sure the AHA will dive in there and fight for the rights of anybody who is doing that. So the only way the AHA can do it is if you help fund their efforts and become a member. Go to the Brewing Network store, sign up for a membership. It's $39 a year. And really, you know, it's going to help you. You can use the pub discount program. Most places where you live, you can, you know, pay for your own membership. And it really will, you know, help you. It helps others. It really is part of the community. And great stuff. And, you know, well done. And I think one of the reasons I'm kind of in this mood for this is that, you know, we're doing Baltic Porter. And I got my Zek's Porter recipe, which my folks or my grandparents, back, my people come from Russia before the communists took power.
Okay.
And when the communists took power, they didn't like people who had, like, you know, farms and grew stuff because they really were, you know, fairly wealthy and, you know, being, you know, farmers and stuff. And they went out and they slaughtered, you know, millions of these folks. And my grandfather on my mother's side, he ended up, his entire family got killed. And he escaped. He rode a horse across Siberia into China and escaped. And, you know, he was, you know, a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I'm literally a mountain of a man. Make McDowell look like a little munchkin.
Yeah.
And he decided that he was going to fight back against the communists, Soviet communists. And he founded schools. He actually printed his own encyclopedia. He actually made a deal with the Japanese at one point, and went back into China, and he was working to fight the Soviets, the communists. And the reason he made the deal with the Japanese is really, Japanese did horrible things in China against the Chinese people, but you know, he saw it as a way to fight the communists. Well, they ended up snagging him out of China. And he ended up in the gulag. And the gulag is, you know, you talk about your slave prisons and things like this, and just the horrible conditions killed many people. He actually, you know, this mountain of a man got whittled down in about 30 years of the gulag. He actually survived. He was that tough a dude. He got whittled down by about 200 or 300 pounds to you know, a fragment of his former self, and they actually released him in I think it was about 1974, 1975. Wow. So from 45 to 75 in the gulag, and he was just you know, a fragile little frail hulk of what he used to be, and a lot of his students, he was. Brought up in the monk monasteries, actually. He was like a, you know, scholar and all this. But a lot of his students wanted to kind of restore him to his former health, so they were feeding him all these rich fatty foods. Yeah. He ended up having a stroke and dying.
Oh no.
He died outside the gulag, which is a good thing. Freedom, but you know, the gulag pretty much killed him.
Yeah.
And
but he survived though. That's pretty
well,
cool.
Well, you know, he outlasted the gulag.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. And, you know, it whittled a mountain of a man down to, you know, just a little tiny shell. And anyway, it's just the name of this recipe is Zek's Porter. And a Zek was considered, it was like a colloquialism for an inmate of the gulag, where you know, they rounded up anybody who didn't you know, follow, march in step with you know, the communists, and put them in slave labor camps.
Wow.
Essentially. And it was millions of people across the gulag was like prisons dotting like islands across a gulag archipelago. Solzhenitsyn with his you know, it's like islands in a chain across all the Russia, and it just drained and killed people.
Wow.
And just brutal, horrible. And then actually, not too long ago, they came across you know, burial sites of 100,000 bodies. You know, from the Tatars, which is the people I come from,
right,
that were, you know, killed when the communists came to power and started just murdering people and starving them out. They took everything they had and left them to, you know, starve to death, you know, eating rocks.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm passionate about.
Hell yeah.
You know, like I said, you know, I'm passionate about the AHA. I'm passionate about homebrewing. I'm passionate about all these people that I look at the homebrewing community kind of along a brotherhood, a sisterhood,
sure.
A kinship. And I think if we all support each other in through the AHA, through supporting people who support us like the Northern Brewer. You know, all that stuff, we all work together. We don't let bad things happen. I don't want to equate, the legalization of homebrew with, the millions of people that died under, the Soviet communists. But, I see some parallels sometimes. I see, people...
Freedom.
Fighting against our freedoms.
Yeah.
Just to, not to cause any trouble, but just to enjoy ourselves.
That's important.
In our own homes, in our backyards,
with your family.
Sometimes you need to stand up and make a fight, and some people get lost in the tussle. And,
yeah.
But I'm getting a little too maudlin here. I think
no, it's good.
Yeah,
but, I think it's good for the listeners to get another side of you. So.
And
it's important,
When I say go and support the Brewing Network, go and support Northern Brewer, go and support HA, I'm serious. I'm not screwing around here.
Yeah.
I'm not dollars are not falling into my pocket from this. I'm serious. I emotionally believe this. This is my core beliefs, and I think it really will help you as well. And otherwise, I wouldn't say it.
Right.
A dollar just fell into my pocket.
There it is. Out of the sky.
I think I'm going to keep that dollar right there. There we go. My first dollar earned at the Brewing Network.
All right. I think this deserves a frame.
All right. I'm getting a little too strange here.
No.
John, why don't you give us a rundown on Baltic Porter, which is what we're covering.
Well, this is quite a unique style, and I think it's definitely a cross between styles. And I don't know if your recipe can kind of show that later, but we'll get into that later. But a Baltic Porter has a very complex aroma from its ester aromas like plums, prunes, raisins, cherries, and sometimes may even have port-like qualities. Also, a rich malty sweetness like caramel, toffee, and toasty flavors come through as well. So on top of all that, you just got to imagine that now you've got you get to taste this after smelling this. So visually, this beer ranges from a dark reddish copper to dark brown, and never truly is black. So just because in the porter category doesn't mean it's black. The flavors of a Baltic Porter are a complex blend of esters, malt, and alcohol flavors. There should be a smooth, lager-like quality that fills the palate with a malty goodness. And I emphasize maltiness. The finish should be a touch dry with hints of roastiness, but it's never burnt. You don't want an astringency coming through. And overall, this beer is very complex. It ages well. And just imagine drinking basically a brown porter crossed with a Schwartz beer with that lager-like quality, and that's your Baltic Porter. And I think overall that beer just sounds really, really good. So that's
here. I think you bring up good points. So you have a lot of that rich... roastiness and a lot of those fig like esters and stuff like that, but it's actually one of the important things is brown porter Schwartz like there's no highly burnt or acrid notes to this,
right?
And I think that's an important takeaway. The other thing is usually there's a cooler fermentation. And or a lager yeast or an ale yeast at a cooler temperature, so the esters are fairly restrained. If you think of a Russian Imperial Stout,
okay,
that has more ester profile and more acrid notes,
mm-hmm.
And Baltic Porter won't have that.
Okay.
And, imagine the, Russian Imperial Stout without those. And I think there's a relationship between Russian Imperial Stout, favorite of the Czars, right?
Mm, right, there you go.
Along with, Baltic Porter. And I think, Russian Imperial Stout was really, Stout Porter. you know, taken over to Russia, you know, brewed, you know, and then over time, things have kind of mellowed out, and I think there's a relationship there.
It all kind of crossed.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, somebody said, oh, well, we're going to brew a Baltic porter, you know, it's like, maybe it's a cross between a robust porter and a Russian Imperial Stout, you know, something along those lines, but in, you know, the Baltic countries. So I'm not sure exactly what the history is, but people say they know what the history is, but I think you know, it's related to Russian Imperial Stout.
Yeah, I think you just touched upon a really, really interesting point: is how the environment can affect the beer that is made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think
colder temperatures.
Colder temperatures, you're going to lager more.
Yeah,
you know, your West Coast IPAs, you know, think about how much hop dominance are on the West Coast here.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you think about how much a region plays in the competition, too.
That's an excellent point,
Joe. So, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, you're...
With the Baltic Porter, I mean, I could see kind of that climate being across from those two different regions, so.
That's an excellent point. I think you're absolutely right. I think that makes a big difference in the resulting beer.
Now, is this beer... A beer that you brew to age, or is it a beer you brew to drink right away?
You brew to age. You lager, and, you know, I think that helps mellow out some of the acrid notes and things like that.
Right. Okay.
All right. So we'll take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll get into the recipe, right? And, all right. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, crap! It's the hop shortage! He's in the basement!
Oh, please! My triple decocted Imperial Pilsner!
It's all gone. We'll never brew again.
Damn this hop shortage! Damn it to hell!
Was ist los? Hop shortage?
Who are you guys?
Ich bin Doppelbock!
Ich bin Kölsch.
Und ich bin Münchener Helles.
We don't need a lot of hops to be delectable.
Now brew something malzy!
Use less hops, brew more beer. Northern Brewer has kits and ingredients for dozens of worldwide beer styles that don't require a lot of hops to make a great pint, like the cool blonde Kölsch or the ponderously bottom-heavy Doppelbock. Keep drinking great beer. Order at northernbrewer.com and get flat rate $7.99 shipping anywhere in the contiguous U.S. One beer kit, $7.99 shipping. 1 million beer kits, $7.99 shipping.
Together we can beat this hop shortage.
Now get brewing!
Did you know that every day a brewcaster goes to bed hungry? Did you know that that brewcaster is silently calling for the help of people just like you? Do you know that every day the unicorn and the rainbow have to blow sailors for loose change? For less than the cost of a half-calf, quad-shot, venti, extra-hot soy milk, triple-pump, hazel, low-fat foam, double-cupped macchiato a day, you can help starving adults in Pacheco. Your love can be felt for as little as 7 cents a day. Visit thebrewingnetwork.com/donate to sign up today for as little as $2 a month. Private first class in the BN Army. Buy your way up the ranks as corporal, sergeant, ranger, or colonel with an easy-to-do monthly donation that keeps brewcasters alive and your favorite internet radio station broadcasting. No donation is too small to help those in need. Can't you find it in your heart to share your love with a brewcaster? In return, you will enjoy the wealth of knowledge that comes with every episode of The Session, The Jameel Show, and yes, even that other show. Thank you for listening, and please sign up for your donation at thebrewingnetwork.com/donate today.
White Labs is a leader in pure yeast and fermentation services, serving the beer, wine, and distilling industries from worldwide producers for more than a decade. White Labs has 3 all-new vials for you to pitch this year, home brewers, so fire up your kettles, fill up your fermenters, and get ready for Cry Havoc, the signature yeast strain from Charlie Papazian. This yeast can ferment both ales and lagers and is great for bottle conditioning, too. Second, a cream ale blend of ale and lager yeast strains. This blend creates a clean, crisp, light American lager style ale. Last, a Belgian style Saison ale yeast blend. This blend melds Belgian style ale yeast and Saison strains to create complex fruity aromas and flavors. Get complete fermentation quickly with this blend's spicy, earthy, and clove-like flavors. White Labs, your brewing partner for great yeast. These new strains are available now for home brewers, breweries, and homebrew shops everywhere. White Labs, it's all in the vial.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcast. Podcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
It's beer.
Network.
And now, back to the Jameel Show.
Talking Baltic Porter.
Yeah.
A beer of my people.
The beer of my people.
Beer of my people. Actually, I guess vodka's of my people, but Baltic Porter, that's fine too.
That works. So was your name changed when your family immigrated over here?
Yes. How absolutely perceptive of you.
So it went from Zek to Zanishev?
No, Zek is like a name of like a prisoner in the gulag.
Oh, that's sorry.
Yeah, colloquialism.
Okay.
But the family name was Zanash.
Zanash, okay.
And then it was changed to Zanishev in order to make it sound more Russian. And to kind of like, you know,
separate.
Hide from it. It'd be like, No, I'd be really rude to say what I was thinking.
Don't do it. Actually, do it.
Okay. No. I'm just like, I've been a fan of Howard Stern's in the past. Calls himself Kikey Kikerson.
Only Justin gets that. I don't understand that. Oh, I could move.
No. You would modify that to something else. But
sure.
No, if you're an Art Surf fan, you would understand that. The name was changed, like a lot of people had to change their names. There's been a lot of horror in the world and the Jewish people and Nazis killing them, and it's also happened to the a lot of people in Soviet Russia.
Yeah. Shit happened here in the...
Millions.
United States.
I mean, they ended up killing 5 million Tatars in Russia.
Wow.
You know, which my people were, that. Now we're down to like, half a million.
Wow.
So it really, really finished them off pretty much. So when you go, I say, hey, I'm a Tatar. And they go, Tatar? What the hell's Tatar? Like, you mean steak Tatar? Like, steak tartare, like raw meat. Under the saddle and beaten. Yeah, that's me.
That's me.
They go, really? Tartar sauce? I'm like, that's tartar sauce. That's different. that's true. Yeah. Absolutely true. And steak tartare. That's my people right there.
Yeah,
known as raping and pillaging people that, took over most of Europe. Yeah, you betcha.
Okay.
Most of the
you betcha.
Most of that part of the world. Yeah, you cross me, I rape and pillage.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't want to cross you.
That's right.
I'll let you brew.
Yeah. Bohica. Bohica. Yeah.
Baltica.
Bohica. Okay. Bohica. That's my battle cry now. Bohica.
Bohica.
Tasty McShad know what I'm talking about. Bohica, baby. Bohica. All right, so Zek Porter. Original gravity, 1089. So it's a pretty big beer. Final gravity is going to be 1018. You need some attenuation on this, and lager yeast tends to attenuate more than most of the ale yeast. And the reason part of the reason it does is it doesn't flocculate as well. A lot of people think flocculation means dropping to the bottom. Flocculation actually means clumping together. So ale yeasts clump together or more flocculent, they clump together better, and they rise to the top of the fermenter with the CO2 catches them and rise them to the top. Lager yeast don't flocculate as well, so they stay in suspension and they tend to do a little bit better on the attenuation, and then they drop to the bottom.
It's good to know.
Yeah. So you get about 78% of attenuation, 38 IBUs. This is a beer with a little bit of sweetness. Okay, only 38 IBUs, so we're not really going to balance it with a lot of bittering like we do Russian Imperial Stout. 28 SRM, fairly dark beer, alcohol, 9.4% ABV.
Ooh. Wow.
Nice big beer. Now, you don't want this hot and alcoholic.
No.
You know, nice, cool fermentation, big pitch of yeast. That's going to give you, you know, restrained fusel alcohols. It's going to do a good job there. As far as extract brewers, you're going to go with a Munich liquid malt extract. There's a couple of suppliers, and you know, one of the probably the best is the Weiermann. I think they call it Bavarian Dunkel or some weird name for it. Horst Dornbusch was telling me, oh, you know, the name doesn't match what the beer style is, but. They have 100% Munich malt extract, 8.9 pounds, 4 kilograms. And Pilsner extract, you can use 5.3 pounds or 2.4 kilograms. And that's going to be your main base malt there. If you're an all-grain brewer, you're going to use 7 pounds of a continental Pilsner malt, 3.17 kilograms. And for the Munich extract, you replace it with 12 pounds or 5.44 kilograms of Munich malt. Mash at 150 degrees Fahrenheit, 66 degrees C. Your other grains that you're going to make in your grain bill there would be either steeping grains or part of your mash if you're an all-grain brewer. Crystal 60, a half pound or 227 grams. Special B, 120 Lovibond or a half pound, 227 grams. Carafa Special 2. 430 Lovibond, 6 ounces, 170 grams, and chocolate malt, 350 Lovibond, a quarter pound, or 113 grams.
Hmm. So the Craft Special 2, well, that's the not the dehusk.
That's the dehusk.
That is the dehusk.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just to color it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the chocolate malt won't give you quite enough color, and if you did use enough chocolate malt, roast malt, something like that, you're going to get kind of an acrid, burnt kind of character, and it's going to be more like a robust porter.
So you would...
Or more like a Russian Imperial Stout.
Okay. But you would go with craft over like a chocolate or a roasted barley or black patent.
Definitely. And the craft is special, dehusk, so you don't quite get that roasty, acrid type of burnt thing, which is something you need to avoid in this style.
Is there still a little bit that comes through in the style?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. You're mainly going with the chocolate malt is giving you kind of that roasty, and you're only going a quarter pound.
Okay. Huh.
So it's really, you know, avoiding, like you were saying, brown porter, Schwarz beer. Brown porter doesn't have any real intense roastiness.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of,
you burnt.
Chocolatey, right? Schwarz beer, again, no roastiness.
Right?
Same thing here. We go with a little quarter pound of the chocolate, 113 grams, just to give a slight hint of the roastiness.
Sure.
But otherwise, you don't want it at all.
Okay.
Right? You want a sweet, rich, dark,
yeah,
you know, beer.
I was really surprised that you mashed at 150 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, it's such a big beer.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent point. It's such a big beer that if you mash at a higher temperature, it's going to become too thick, too heavy.
Okay.
Right? You need drinkability.
Right.
And, you know, 150, if that doesn't do it, you know, go down 148, you know, Fahrenheit, you know, enough to get it to thin out enough that you can, you know, drink a full pint of this.
Okay.
Yeah, any of these shows that we do, if you can't drink a full pint of the beer, you got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's probably something wrong in the process.
Right. Yeah. If you don't drink the first pint and go, yeah, I need a couple more pints of that.
Right.
Then you got it wrong.
That's usually a good sign too.
Yeah.
If you go back two or three times, you made a good beer.
Exactly.
I mean, no. If you did that, maybe that's worth entering.
Right. Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing, if any beer you brew, you know, even if you think it's not worth entering, it is worth entering because you can get some objective feedback on, you know, what you might have done wrong. And it's very hard to be objective about your own beers. So I suggest entering competitions. If you're listening to this show right now and, you know, in the next month, once you download it, there's a competition coming up that's an excellent competition. It is the 21st Annual Southern California Regional Homebrew Championship, hopheads.com, or you can find it also on the Brewing Network site. Entry deadline, June 14th. And the cost per entry is all very low, $5 per entry.
Yeah, that's
and, you know, they got excellent judging down there. The organizers really know what they're doing. And I think, you know, enter into the Brewing Network, you know, show the support, you know, make sure they know that you heard about it here. But I think this is an excellent opportunity for you to get feedback on your beers. If you think a beer is like, well, you know, I like this, nobody else likes this, go ahead and enter it.
Do it.
You know, get some objective feedback. If you're like me, you know, you had everybody in your neighborhood saying, well, you know, it's great beer. Oh, it's excellent. Every time I thought it was a horrible beer, they still said, oh, it's great beer. It's great beer. So I realized they really didn't know what they're talking about, and they're just telling me what they thought I wanted to hear.
Right.
That's the problem, is pretty much everyone's going to tell you what they think you want to hear. All your friends and family are going to say, well, I love you, yeah. So
I love your beer
is great. Yeah. You know, it doesn't taste like shit.
Yeah.
It tastes great. So the important thing is go ahead and you know, get into a competition like this Southern California Regional Homebrew Championship. Again, hopheads.com or thebrewingnetwork.com. You can find out more about that. You can list your own club if you're already in a club, and you can list the Brewing Network. But, you know, go ahead and list both. Make sure you get the Brewing Network in there. Let them know that you're a listener and that you support what we're doing here. You know, there's no real money being derived from it. But,
no.
You know, come on. Let's support each other and appreciate what we're doing.
Exactly.
So, how did I get sidetracked on that?
I don't know, but you're on a roll, buddy.
I am. I'm fired up.
I
love being here. I love doing the show. I love sitting here with you.
Go.
And I realized when I went to take a pee, I got like, you know, three people that I would... I got three people that I would drink anything they handed to me. I mean, if you handed me a beer, whatever it was, I would just drink it and assume it was going to be great.
Okay.
Tasty, same thing. You know, Tasty could actually go and pee in a glass in front of me.
He has.
And then hand it to me and say, no, I brewed this. It's really excellent. You ought to drink it. And I'd still drink it. Even after seeing him urinate in the glass, I'd be like, well, I must be confused because, you know, he could actually pee in the glass in front of me. I'd take that. And McChad here. Damn, that guy, look out. That boy knows what he's doing, too.
Yeah.
Any of you guys, you know, so I feel very lucky. And then Justin... I love Justin, and
so
it has nothing to do with beer. But, you know, Justin's a great guy. All right, so on the hops on this beer, you can use the Polish Lublin hops, 3.5% alpha acid, 60 minutes. You can use a 2.9% or 2.9 ounce, 82 gram addition, and an addition at 15 minutes, 1 ounce or 28 grams, same hop. Total IBUs is going to be about 38 IBUs using the Rager formula with pellet hops. Feel free to substitute Saaz or Hallertau or, you know, any of those classic hops. It's going to be fine. The Polish Lublin is really, you know, probably traditional, or, you know, there's a lot of options there.
That's a unique hop. I've seen that a lot in your book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Morbier doesn't care, but why did you choose that hop over others?
Again, regional differences. So when you're brewing a beer that is really distinct to a region, if you're brewing a, you know, an American style beer, you know, there are certain hops that are unique to American beers. You know, the citrusy hops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'd use those. If you're brewing a beer that's traditional of Britain, you're going to use you know, any of those English British hops. If you're doing something that's German, you know, German hops. And, you know, it just kind of fits along with the style and, you know, the tradition of the area. And I think you can get away with a lot of flexibility. I think there is a lot of flexibility in...
Well, your beer is pretty firmly bittered. I mean, 38 IBUs. I mean,
for that big a beer, I don't know.
But, I mean, despite, let's say we're not talking about Baltic Porter. If any home brewer is going to brew a high gravity beer,
right,
you definitely probably have to up your IBUs just to complement gravity, right?
If you were doing a Russian Imperial Stout, for example, if you do Mike Riddle brews, you know, fabulous Russian Imperial Stouts, also in the book, his recipe, you know, he'll have like 100 IBUs in a 1.1 gravity beer.
Wow.
You know, this is 1089. It's not that far from 1.1.
That's true.
Yeah. It's 38 IBUs. If you make a Russian Pale Stout, you know, along what I do, you know, you're close to that, but you're, you know, in the 70, 80 IBU range.
Okay.
So 38 IBUs is actually a little low.
That's
you need to attenuate enough so it doesn't end up way too sweet.
Okay.
Okay. And so you got quite a bit of attenuation. It finishes fairly dry. You don't want to over bitter it.
Okay.
So Ray Daniels has a great thing about bittering to gravity ratios.
Mm-hmm.
And the only problem with that measure, I use that measure a lot, especially if you read Brew Your Own magazine, I do the style profile column. I always mention the brewing, the bitterness to gravity ratio.
Sure.
And if you're not a BYO subscriber, you go to the Brewing Network store and, you know, sign up for BYO. BYO gets a cut, or, you know, Brewing Network gets a cut, and you get a great magazine.
Sure.
The only problem with that ratio is that it doesn't take into account the finishing gravity, which is
it's huge.
Yeah. And this is one thing I think Mike McDowell brought this up for me and really made me think about it the first time. It's like, you know, finishing gravity makes a big difference in that ratio. And, you know, different yeast, different attenuation, different grain bills, different attenuation. And if you don't pay attention to that, yeah, your bittering could be, you know, completely off as well.
I mean, now, wow, you open up a whole nother what the effects of yeast and in the style of Baltic Porter. I mean, why would you use an ale yeast over a lager yeast with this style? And is it really truly a Baltic Porter using an ale yeast? Can you ferment an ale yeast colder with this? Will that fruity esters from an ale yeast affect the bitterness in the style?
See,
will the lager yeast?
This is why
dry
you're
out?
Sitting in the chair next to me.
Okay,
you know? those are excellent questions. I think, you know, after being at Sierra Nevada and seeing them ferment a lager with their ale yeast strain, and I was convinced it was some lager yeast strain they were using.
Really?
You know, it was so sulfury and all this. I'm like, oh, yeah, what lager yeast do you use? And they're like, oh, no, that's our ale yeast at, 53 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm like, wow. You know, just stunning.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of overlap there. I prefer for this style, I prefer to use either the White Labs WLP 885 Zurich lager is probably my premium choice. It handles a lot of alcohol. It's it's a good high gravity lager yeast.
Is that a platinum strain?
I don't know.
I think it might be a platinum strain.
It might be. If you can't get that, you can go with YEAST 2206 Bavarian lager or the White Labs WLP 830 German lager, and either of those will work fine. The Zurich lager is probably my top choice on this, though. The 885 YEAST. I don't think, or White Labs, I don't think YEAST has an equivalent for that.
Okay.
At least at this time. You know, things change.
Sure.
You know, both of those yeast companies are fantastic.
Oh,
and they're very...
we're very thankful that they're around.
Creative and making sure that people have such a variety, your head swims.
Yeah.
If you got to use dry yeast, the Fermentis Saftlager S23 is actually a pretty good choice.
I heard that's pretty sulfury, too.
Yeah. Well, and you don't want sulfury, but you don't want too fruity. If you're using the dry yeast, I would go a little warmer on the fermentation temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Using the high-quality liquid yeast from White Labs and Y Yeast, I'd ferment at about 53 degrees Fahrenheit, a little warmer than I usually do a lager, 12 degrees C. And if you're using dry yeast, I might go 5 degrees higher than that, maybe 58 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. So that hotter ferment probably scrubs some of that sulfur notes.
Yeah. You know, those dry yeast tend to be excessively sulfury, even in the ale yeasts.
Okay.
So you want a real active fermentation because they get that sulfury doughy kind of thing. I'm not a big fan of the dry lager yeast. There's so many people in the world that can't get the liquid yeast that we're blessed with here in the United States.
Fresh.
You know, go ahead and use the dry yeasts. Absolutely. It's not that bad.
Okay.
But, you know, like I'm saying, there's a difference. And there's a reason why we'll pay $6 a package for liquid yeast, because...
It's good.
Yeah, you're really good. You know, your whole entire beer is $35-$40.
Yeah.
You know, the $6 is well worth it versus the dollar of dry yeast. So really can't go wrong there. All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will get into questions from the chat room. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brewpub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brewpub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous Watermelon Wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless-domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all-grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Hey, Push, the new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of 13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of 25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The More Beer deal of the day.
Announcing the Beer, Beer, and More Beer deal of the day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kettles, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess.
The More Beer deal of the day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something.
Find the More Beer deal of the day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
This is www.thebrewsnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
I just see my tank top, my American flag, and blue jeans, and I'm set. Did sirs.
And your banana hammock.
So, guys, you kind of threw me for a little whirl here before the break. In the last two shows, you've mentioned yeast strains that you haven't mentioned in the last, like, 2 years. And my question to you is... I mean, you've released a book that have all these ingredients and quantities and ratios, great IBUs, and great. But you're specifying a certain yeast strain mm-hmm. per style to definitely contribute a huge amount of flavor.
Right.
And, well, I mean, why? And can you explain, elaborate a little bit more? I mean, just the importance of a yeast strain based on a certain style?
Well, the interesting thing about the various yeast styles. So, you can try to, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, just use this yeast style. Yeah, there's stuff in the forums. You know, if you get a chance to get yourself to the brewingnetwork.com forums. You know, there's a lot of good information in there, and people ask questions, and every once in a while I see people say, well, I don't have this yeast, or I don't have that grain, or whatever. And I think, you know, if you don't have the grain, that's a much more forgiving thing than not having the yeast.
Okay.
Now, the caveat to that is, you know, you can make the different yeasts perform in different ways. The temperature you ferment at, the nutrition that's available to the yeast, namely zinc, oxygen, free amino nitrogen, things like that, all affect you know, the flavors that the yeast is going to provide. So you can take a you know, for example, EJ Fair, they'll use the OO2, and then they'll ferment it cool and get a cleaner beer. They'll ferment it warmer, and, you know, the try all sorts of different things. You can do that, but in the end, if you were to take, you know, the yeast that's suggested in the book and try and match the profile using some other yeast, using some tricks to make it behave the way you want, they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason that, you know, a lot of, you know, brew pubs or breweries will use, you know, one yeast for a variety of styles and they'll go through these tricks is really because they don't want to manage different yeasts. You know, maintaining yeast health, avoiding cross-contamination,
right.
Things like that. It's really very time-consuming and difficult. They could do it.
Costs money,
it's
too.
It's just, yeah, it costs a lot of money. They're going to have to raise the price of your six-pack by a dollar. Do you really want to pay that extra dollar? They think no, so they're going to go ahead and, you know, that you're not going to really appreciate it, so they're going to give you, you know, what you want at a, you know, they're going to give you an excellent product at a reasonable price. They could do it, but, you know, again, you know, it's something that they choose that the consumer doesn't really want.
Okay.
As a home brewer, you have the opportunity to go ahead and buy, you know, a new package of Y yeast or Y labs, and you know, do the best that you can. And there is a difference. All those strains, you know, these companies don't have maintain these strains, which is a lot of expense and effort on their part, just for grins. You know, they do it because, yeah, there's a difference.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Did I lose track of the question?
No.
All right. All right.
That's all I had. I mean, that's all I have to ask you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's really good info.
That's an excellent question. All right. So, you know, and I think, you know, one of the reasons we use a lager yeast on this, they tend to attenuate more on this Baltic Porter style, and they tend to be a little cleaner, a little less estery. We do go for a little warmer fermentation temp to provide a little more esters, but it's kind of a balancing act. And again, you want this on the cleaner side. You want some, you know, when they talk about the fig and the dark fruit notes, really, those come from the alcohols oxidizing and combining with a lot of the malt notes, and that's what gives you that versus just out-and-out hot fermentation temperatures.
Right. So definitely if it was in the bottle and aging.
Yes.
6 months from now, 9 months from now.
Right. This is something you lager for a good period of time.
Okay.
Turns out quite well.
I mean, how long do you ferment this beer? 8 weeks?
Oh, that's another thing. You know, we were talking about, you know, if you really have, you know, great yeast health, you know what you're doing, you're really on top of this, yeah, maybe you can crank this out in, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. But don't rush it. You know, the yeast know what they're doing, and if it's going to take them 6 weeks, 8 weeks to do this, you know, I've had this beer where it was done in 2 weeks, and it really was, you know, well done. It was perfect. I've had times when, you know, at 2 weeks, it wasn't quite right. At 3 weeks, it wasn't quite right. At 4 weeks, it wasn't quite right.
Wow.
And then I kind of gave up and, you know, waited 8 weeks, and then it was perfect.
Okay.
So there's really, you know, at lager temperatures, lager fermentation temperatures, there's really no reason to rush this.
Okay.
You know, take your time, let it settle, let it improve, and, you know, it'll be ready to go, you know, by week 6 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Well, I assume you've, knowing you and Mr. Malty and your pitch rate calculator and everything, and all that you've got, your fermentation, your yeast cell counts down to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say you brewed this once and it was done in 3 weeks. You did the same amount of time, same starter volume. You brewed it 6 months later, a fresh vial of yeast, but it took 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just kind of asking you a question about, does the viability of yeast cells change from the distributor? And if so, does that allow the homebrewer to kind of adapt and have to be able to adapt to that change?
Yeah, they can. In my case, usually by the time I'll brew a few other beers before I get to this beer, and I'll repitch my yeast.
Uh-huh.
So I'll start out with maybe a Munich Helles or something. That's my favorite, you know, lower gravity lager beer, and you know, everybody drinks that. So I'll start with that, and then I'll repitch.
Oh, okay.
So you know, part of that problem might be mine.
Sure.
So,
but you have healthier yeast now in your next pitch.
Right. And, okay, you know, how you treat it and all the things that happen to it are going to affect how it goes. I think, you know, something like, you know, McChad, he, you know, he goes, you know, from the vials into a big starter, and he may step up that starter, and then, you know, he goes right for the, goes for the throat at
that
point.
Yeah.
And does an excellent job. I mean, he gets fermentation like you wouldn't believe, attenuation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all his beers finished just right.
Well, I think it's great that the last 3 months, when I've come to do the show with you, on the table in the kitchen, there's always a starter going.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's classic. Going, yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's like the sphere. It's like the central point, you know?
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. It's about that yeast and fermentation. Yeah. It really makes a big difference. Really important. All right. We got any questions from the chat room?
We do. We got a few good questions. A lot of people have been hanging out tonight, having some fun in there. And good question here, because you mentioned using a lager yeast with this beer, but with your robust porter, you use an ale yeast. So the person just wants to know how important it is to use a lager yeast with this.
I think it's really important. You could probably get away with the 001 1056 on the robust porter. You could probably use that for this at a lower temperature. After my experience at Sierra Nevada, I think you could go ahead and do that probably at the same temperature, 53 degrees Fahrenheit. But, you know, for me, I haven't had great success at that. You know, the people at Sierra Nevada are true brewing scientists and amazing people. And so I think maybe they get away with it, and I couldn't. Give it a try, but... yeah, you might want to split your wort and pitch the lager yeast instead.
Okay. And then kind of along the same note, I don't know if you've had any experience with Charlie's Cry Havoc strain that's with...
Right, I haven't.
Okay. Because I had asked about that, because that could be fermented cold or warm. That's sort of the claim to fame for that yeast.
And... You know, I love Charlie, and I think we wouldn't be, you know, in the position we're at right now without him. Mm-hmm. And all he's done. But I kind of got to question that strain and all the claims made against it, because you could take pretty much any yeast and do a similar thing with that.
Mm.
Again, take 001 or 1056 and you can ferment it at 53 degrees and get a lager type beer, or 50 degrees, get a lager type beer. You can ferment it, you know, at 65 to 68 and get, you know, a clean ale, and you could probably jack the thing up and temperature-wise and get something fruity, and, you know, it's amazing yeast. And, you know, so I think that would work. You know, some of the reports I've seen on that yeast make me feel like it's almost like the soft lager yeast, where if you ferment it too cold, it's really sulfury and doughy, and if you ferment it warm, it's more ale-like, and you gotta get kind of a warm lager temperature to make a decent lager. So I don't know. I really don't have that much experience with it. Essentially zero, and just everything I've heard from other people. So I don't know. You know, give it a try, but I think, again, don't try to overload one yeast to do one thing. You know, there's a whole these, you know, the yeast companies have all these different strains for a reason, and it's not that expensive for you to just go ahead and buy a new package of yeast and you know, make the beer the way it should.
Okay. Here was a good question. Because of the gravity of this beer, would somebody use sugar to help get the fermentation down?
Yeah, you can. If you're having trouble getting this to attenuate, if you're using extract and it won't attenuate right, definitely mix in some simple sugar. Replace some of your base malt extract with just simple table sugar, and that'll help. You can go, 10, 20%, and you're really not going to notice much of a flavor difference. It'll help dry it out. Definitely the way to go. If you're an all-grain brewer, your first step is to lower your mash temp. The mash temp that I give works on my system, and maybe your system's dialing a little differently and reports temperatures a little differently. You know, try dropping 2 or 3 degrees and seeing how that attenuates. Again, no matter how fermentable the wort is, if you don't have the right yeast, health population, you know, pitchable amount, oxygen, things like that, it's not going to attenuate. So make sure you're taking good care of the yeast, and then you can adjust mash temperature or add simple sugar.
Okay. Does this style of beer serve well for oak aging?
I think any bigger beer does fairly well with oak aging, and any sweeter beer does. And this is tends to be a sweeter beer, like barley wines, the Baltic Porter. There's some sweetness to it, and what the oak aging does is it adds a touch of tannins to the beer, and that those tannins help with the balance and the overall balance of the beer, and can kind of handle some of that sweetness for you. And so it can turn out pretty good.
Okay. And then last, don't know if you've had it, someone wanted to know if you've had the Olfabriken Porter, which is actually a Belgian beer company. And they make a porter, and I think he had it and wanted to know if you thought it was good to the style. So
no, I don't think I have. What you need to do is get a couple of bottles and send them to me, and then
there you go.
I will definitely have had it at that point.
That's it from the chat. It's all yours.
Great, thanks. All right, so for extract brewers, you want an original gravity of 1089. You're going to have IBUs of 38 using the regular formula, color of 28 SRM using Mori. Munich liquid malt extract for an extract brewer, 8.9 pounds or 4 kilograms. Pilsner liquid malt extract, 5.3 pounds or 2.4 kilograms. Your specialty grains, Crystal 60 Love, 1/2 pound, 227 grams. Special B, 1/2 pound, 227 grams. Carafa Special 2, 6 ounces or 170 grams. Chocolate malt at 350 Love, 1/4 pound or 113 grams. For an all-grain brewer, you're going to replace that Pilsner extract with 7 pounds or 3.17 kilograms continental Pilsner malt, and the Munich extract with 12 pounds or 5.44 kilograms Munich malt, mashed at 150 degrees Fahrenheit, 66 degrees C. You probably want to also increase the pre-boil volume to allow you a 90-minute boil to boil off the SMM, the DMS precursor in that beer. Hopping, you're going to go with Lublin 3.5% alpha acid, 60 minutes, 2.9 ounce or 82 grams. Same hop, 15 minutes, 1 ounce or 28 grams. Ferment it with White Labs WLP 885 Zurich Lager, or the White Yeast 2206 Bavarian Lager Yeast. Ferment around 53 degrees Fahrenheit or 12 degrees C, and you're going to carbonate that to 2 to 2.5 volumes. Make yourself a really nice Baltic Porter.
And drink.
And drink. Yes.
It's my two cents. All right.
All right.
Good
and,
show.
And if you got a chance, get yourself over to the brewingnetwork.com, and I want you to donate. One time or recurring donations are available, and this will help keep this programming that you're listening to alive. As little as a couple of bucks a month. And also, we're going to have the Brewing Network anniversary party, June 14th, downtown Woo-hoo! Joe's in
yeah!
Napa.
Woo!
We're all going to be there. Saturday, 5 o'clock, I'll be there. Come see me. Come say hi. John Plisse. My Cajun brother will be there.
On
Tasty
the
McDole. Chad, he'll be there. Justin will be there. Come down. Have fun. Brew strong.
Brew strong.